The stage, sir.
Be careful of the step. Step over here. Okay. Fine. Don't let it come. I'll stand you back. This is your place. So ready in 2 seconds.
Yud Gimel 7, Sunday the 31st of May, Rabbi Yosef Gerber, Choices.
Incident that happened to him when he was, I think it was still Yeshiva Bachur Ponovich. It was the early days in Eretz Yisrael, and I don't know if people remember the old Sheirut system. It was a bit horrendous. They had these 7-seaters and they shoved people in. That's part of history. He was sitting right at the back of a Sheirut, sort of tucked in a corner, and sitting next to the driver was one of the ministers of education in the new Israeli government, you know, the world authority on education, you know. Anybody who came into the Sheirot was questioned, and if that person had any shaykhus whatsoever with education, oh, it was fair game, right? They were driving out, way out of the big cities, and a young lady got into the Sheirut, sat in the middle, at a little village somewhere. The fellow at the front turned around and said, good morning, how are you? You know, the balabos. What do you do? What's your job? I'm a teacher. Oh, I'm a teacher, that's it. He started questioning her about school as if he knew about schools. After all that, he said, am I Mados? What about religion? Do you have any religious problems? That was the Inyan there. In those days, if you didn't have a religious problem, you hadn't come of age. You had to have religious problems. They thought religious problems were going to solve their problems. Right. The Ben-Gurion Gazot, when you have 4 million Yidden in Eretz Yisrael, would have no more security problems. Dimyonos. I said, yeah, we did. And I'll tell you what happened. I teach in a school. And in the school where I teach, it's a very much a mixed intake. You know, in those days, you didn't have in every little area Haredi schools, and it was very sparsely populated. I had a mixed intake. But nearly all the children were from not from homes, but some of the teachers were from. They wanted jobs. And one of the young ladies appointed to teach so-called Bible, we would call it the Torah, was someone called Malka, a from young lady, from girl. And she was told to teach it like Jewish history, but she didn't. She taught Torah. She was teaching a class. This is what this young lady is telling this minister of education in the car. She was teaching a class. And it came to a point in the Chumash where it spoke about mitzvahs and aveiros. A 7-year-old boy, a clever little boy, said, Malka, he puts up his hand, what's a mitzvah, what's an aveiro? He's entitled to know. A mitzvah is you do what Hashem wants, and a aveira you do what he tells you not to do. What does Hashem want? He started giving examples. What Hashem wants is you should be a good person. You should keep Shabbos. That got him a bit worried, And not to do avevas. What's an aveva? Example. Yom Chol Shabbos. I'm simplifying things. We can't talk all day about this one. The Maisa, but it's important Maisa. Yeah. For example, you put lights on Shabbos, you write on Shabbos, you listen to the radio on Shabbos. That's an aveva, and Hashem is very angry if you do it. The little boy is getting very, very sort of tense. And what happens to you if you do an aveva? This teacher was very much emistic. You go to Gehenim. And what's Gehenim? Oh, she said it's a terrible place with fire and punishment. The boy started to scream. He became hysterical. He said, we do all those things. I don't want to go to Gehenna. I'm entitled not to go. I said, don't worry. You're okay. You'll be fine. No, no. He's screaming hysterically. He doesn't want to go to Gehenna. She couldn't calm him down. By that time, it was near the end of the day, and sort of the class disintegrated, and they left school. The 7-year-old boy, in tears, semi-hysterical, meets his big sister of 10, and they're going to walk home together. The sister's already with it, young lady, she knows what the world's all about. And she says, what's going on with you? What happened to you? Someone hurt you? Someone hit you? No, nobody hurt me. No one did anything to me. But I just don't want to go to Gehenna. And the whole story came pouring out. It's rubbish. No such thing as Gehenna. That's old-fashioned. And all the way home, it wasn't so far, they're arguing about if there is or is not Gehenna. They came to the door of their flat. And they shout, the two young children shouting at each other. The mother is a sophisticated lady. She's modern. She hears the argument. She brings the children in. She calms them down. She gives them some food, some hot drink. And the child is still very, very distraught. What's going on here? I don't want to go to Gehenna. Now, the mother was, as I said, a modern type of lady, and she knew you mustn't contradict the teacher. That's not the way to do it. But, on the other hand, she doesn't want to, she can't agree. She said, you know, there's really no problem. All this has been told by the girl in the Shevut. There are shitters in it. Some people hold there is Gehenna. Some people hold there's no Gehenna. And we hold there's no Gehenna, so we don't have a problem. Yeah. Little boy didn't take it. Yeah, and what happens if you're wrong and they're right? By that time the car stopped, and this teacher got out of the car, and there's no end to this story, as far as I know. But that's the story of Shlomo Brevda told. And it's such an important story that he actually told it to Rav Chaskel Levenstein. And Rav Chaskel said that little boy has got a hoich and a shoma. What happens if you're wrong and they're right? People don't understand. They don't carry things to their logical conclusion. Because they don't want to know. Because they've got shochad. And that's the issue which we're dealing with. When we come to chinuch in any form. How do we get away from this thick veil of shochad, which blocks the ability to see the emes? You know, the Sfasemes said, we say on Chanukah, in Al Nisim, we say, Giborim b'yad choloshim, Rabim b'yad me'atim, Tumeim b'yad tehorim, Rishoyim b'yad tzadikim, Zedim b'yad oskim sarosecho. He said, it's connected to Chamisha Chumshei Torah. First of all, we start Giborim b'yad choloshim. At the end of Bereishis, this is V'heim ha-Giborim asher ba'oretz. That was Giborim b'yad choloshim. They've gone and we're here. Then they came to Mitzrayim and they were same ot. It was Rabim b'yad me'atim. But Yikra is the Sefer of Tara. Tumeim b'yad tehorim. But Midra deals with all the great Averis. But Midra deals with the Averis which people did. Which were the Averis? You've got them one after another. In Valoscho, you've got the Misavim Taibo, you've got in Shlach, the Chet HaMeraglim, in Korach. So it's for Shoyim, B'yad Tzadikim. And the Mishnah Torah, Zaydim B'yad Eski Sorosechim. This is the Sfasemes. Our Korach was in Chamisha Chumshei Torah, we've got the ability to stand up to the various situations in life. The Midbar is the Shoyim Biyad Tzadikim. And if you think for 1 minute, what's going on in Sefer B'Midbar? What is there? You start off with Baal Osram, it's Abu Taiba. Taiba, they had Taiba. It was not the sort of Taiba. It's a very difficult subject, Dur HaMidbar. If you think for a minute, Dur Mekabli HaToyua, the Gemara says, in Baba Basra and Rabbi Baba Chonos, came across the mason of the Midbar, and they were in the sun for 1,000 years, and their bodies had not even decomposed. They were so, with such kedusha b'tahara. And yet, for here on, Rabbi Dessler points out, Ker Mison and Imra. And their Matvega was as if they were Mison and Imra. They grumbled, they called Tivus. Taiva. What is the chet of the Miraglim? Rashi says, Rashi doesn't say correctly, but the Zerah Shrek Beferish. Israel. And they were afraid if they come to Eretz Yisrael, they'll lose their jobs. They won't be Roshim B'nai Yisrael anymore. You know, this will cover, it tastes good. It goes very well, you know. It goes very well with the other things of life. They wanted a bit of covered. And that was a negias. But don't forget, when a person's big, the Yetzirah is also big. And the Yetzirah goes in tandem. And that's how, through the chet of the of Meragim came about through COVID. They wanted COVID. And Roshim B'nai Yisrael, they didn't want to lose their position. Korach came about through Kino. Rashi says, Niskana. So you have the three parshas, Balosra, Shlach, and Korach, of Kino, Taiva, and COVID. Kino, Taiva, and COVID, but Sinus, Odom, Mimena, Olam. And the Dur Midbar, the Dur Gedolei Torah, the Kabli HaTorah. Nevertheless, when they get involved with the Midas, you don't know where you'll end up. Rav Zissel quotes a tshuva of Rav Hai Gaon. And in this tshuva, he quotes one of the 300 Mesholim of foxes, which were taught by Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's Mesholim were Limudim in Avodas Hashem. And Rav Hai himself says on this Moshul, Kama Mini Musa, how much Musa there is in this? It's very simple. We're going to be Makatsu because of the time factor. But very simply, a fox was caught by a lion. Which state in the this was the marshal, and the lion is about to consume the fox, but the fox is a very clever creature. It hasn't got much strength compared to the lion, but it's got a problem. He says, "Mr. Sir Lion, he says, you're going to get nothing out of me. Scrawny little fox, you'll eat me up, and you'll still be hungry. Come, I'll show you a big, fat, juicy man." And then you'll have a halt of a saboita, then you'll be okay. Okay, the lion grabs him very firmly, but no tricks. And they walk this unlikely pair through the forest, the massive lion and this trembling fox, and they come to a very narrow path, and on the other side of the path there's a man davening. And between them is a deep pit, a hunter's pit. They used to dig deep pits and put thin sticks over it and spread grass on it. So an animal running fast will fall into the pit. But they were walking slowly and they could see the pit. The fox says to the lion, "There's your man." Ah. But the lion said, "It's dangerous. There's a deep pit. I can fall in the pit." So why should you fall in the pit? Says the lion, "Because he's davening. Don't you see he's davening? A person's davening, he's got schusim. Maybe because of his davening I'll fall in the pit." "Ah," the fox says, "you've got nothing to worry about. Nobody ever fell into a pit if he didn't do a veus." He said, "How do you know? I'm such a good lion. Maybe I have done a veus." "He's still got nothing to worry about. Even if you've done a veus, you won't suffer. Poker avon ovos arabonim, your children will suffer. You're fine, you can jump." Which sounds logical. We jumped, fell in the pit. This time the tune of the fox had changed a little bit. Now he was no longer sort of at the end of the lion's paw, and he looks down and he says, "How are you, sir?" "You've got me into this mess. In any case, you told me my children are suffering, would suffer. What am I doing here? Maybe your father did the Vedas, and that's why you were in the pit. So the lion said, you're talking rubbish. You don't understand it. That's not what the Pasuk means. It must be everyone suffers for his own avayas. You know, says the fox, you have a point. But why didn't you think of that before? A rhetorical question. You know why? He was hungry. He wanted to eat. That he didn't. When you want to eat, you don't think. This is what Rav Chisholm says, that Rav Chaim Gaon says, how many Muslims in that story? And Rav Chisholm is Masbir. How many people are on the madrega of that lion? It's a very high madrega. Not only does he know there's such a thing as tefillah, and tefillah helps, but he knows there's such a thing as Gehenna. We all know there's Gehenna, but he can see Gehenna. He sees the pit. He sees Gehenna in front of him. Afo Bikena, though he sees Gehenna in front of him, he's misled by some spurious argument, which doesn't really make sense. But that's the Eitz HaRa. And that is what makes things so difficult for us. The Kino Taiva Vakova, which stops us being simple and logical. You see in the Maizah of Omen Peles, what does his wife tell him? You're not going to gain anything by this Machlokes. And the Chazal say, Chochma, Sisha, Bon, Sovesa, was a big Chochma. It's quite obvious. Either you'll be a servant of Moshe or of Korah. Yeah, but in the time of Machlokes, that means when the Eitz HaRa is operating, just to talk simple common sense, there's already a gewalt. It's very difficult to talk common sense. And when we talk then about chinuch, I'm going to suggest to you a pshat. I'll leave it to you to be mekabel or not. Or shus biyotcho. Kohenim make the bracha. Yes, it is parasha. Kosa bracha. Levoyach is amu Yisrael be'arba. So the simple taich, without a doubt, is you. The Bnei Shalom wants the Kohenim to give the bracha be'arba. Out of Arba for Klal Yisrael, that they should give the bracha. Maybe we can add an extra thought to this bracha. The Vorech is Ami Yisrael be Arba. The Arba is not the way in which the bracha is given, it's what the bracha is. The Vorech is Ami Yisrael be Arba. They should have Arba. That is the bracha that Kohenim give, that Bnei Yisrael should feel Arba to the Bnei Shalom. Because if you've got Abba, then you'll go. Nothing will stop. The Baruch is Am Yisrael Abba. They want us to imbue Abba in the Klal Yisrael. Abba for Torah and Abba for mitzvahs. And that's what we have to try and achieve. And that's the Seyid of Chinuch. We say in this week's parasha, Achinei Asheheves Olam Yeleho, until it burns by itself. You know the famous saying from the world of, from the war on want. Give a man a fish, feed him for a day. Teach him to fish, feed him for life. And that's exactly what the Chanuch has to do. Not give him a fish, but teach him to fish. Well, if you don't do it, but Arbor, it won't go anywhere. It'll just be brick wall. Without Arbor, you don't move. I heard from of David Refson, the founder of Nevei Yerushalayim, interesting daher on Parshas Balozcha. He said, the world is divided, when I say the world, Am Yisrael are divided into maxes and minis. People who want to do the most and people who want to get out of it. I'm not talking about people who are not interested in Torah. People are filming in, but maxes and minis. And you have them both in this week's Parsha. A group of people who were Tomei, Tomeim, for the Nefesh. Right? And therefore, the Fihalot, what were they doing? It was, according to one Shitta, they were taking the Atzmus Yosef, they were doing mitzvahs, great, the Maltika mitzvah. They were potter from the Korban Pesach. And what happens? They come along, and they say to Moshe, why should we miss out? They were maxes, they were potter, they didn't have any chiyuv to bring a Korban Pesach. And they said, why should we lose out? We don't. We want to maximize our avodas Hashem. They were maxes. And there's another type of person mentioned in this week's Seder, indirectly. You know, the two inverted nunin. And the Ramban says it's to separate from Peronius le Peronius, one calamity to one calamity, to another one. One of the calamities is what's the other one? Says the Ramban, if you look at it, what's so terrible about it? Why does it have to mention Maha Hashem? They journeyed for 3 days. We know where they were. We knew they were at Ha Hashem. Says the Ramban, he quotes a Medrash. They were at Har Sinai, and they received all these mitzvahs. And they thought, if we stay here any longer, we're going to get even more. And then the message came, they must leave. Oh, a sigh of relief. A Yisum HaHashem, Katinaka Bereach Mabet HaSefer, is the Russian Medrash. Like children at the end of the day, imagine kids in a stuffy, hot classroom all day, and oh, they just can't wait to get out, and eventually the day is finished, and the teacher says, go, and whoops, there's an explosion for the door. Katinaka Bereach Mabet HaSefer, a Yisum HaHashem. Heard enough? There are minis. I don't want any more. And in one's avodas Hashem, you can be a maxi, you can be a mini. Those who wanted to bring the Korban Pesach were maxis, and those who wanted to get away from the Har Hashem were minis. And a maxi. Let me just give you a simple maisa. A maisa of some sofa, a maisa yodua. Some sofa used to get up early to learn, and he used to sit in his room, immersed in Torah, writing tshuvas. He had a Rosh HaGahol who was a big Osha, and in those days they didn't use banks the way we use banks now, in those days, and people used to give money to this Osha to look after them, almonos, yesomim. There was a very timid knock at the door at some very early hour, and some sofas had come in, and the Rosh HaGahol came in. It was not the style. The Rosh HaGahol used to come in as if, ich bin doch. And he saw that the fellow was in big sores, and he poured out his heart to the some sofa. He said, Rebbe, all his money's gone. He got mixed up in terrible business deals. He's bankrupt, and he's got chayvus ibn kop. Chovas to you on monos, and you're so terrible, terrible, he doesn't know what to do. And some sofa calmed him down. He said, here's 50 rubles, halvor. Go to, I don't know, maybe it was Danzig, go to the this big town, and the first business deal that comes your way, do it. So he went. I don't know how they travelled in those days, I don't know if there was a railway in those days, maybe there was. About 1830, he came to Danzig, and when he arrived there, a goy came running over to him. As he arrived, it was a goy he'd done business with before, one of these big businessmen, one is very close to the melech. He said, you're just the man I need. I bought a massive consignment of wood, and 10,000 rubles, I'll just give him figures, a lot of wood. And the king has ordered me to go on royal business out of town. I've got to give over the wood. I can't look after it. I want you to buy the wood for me. It's a matzia. I haven't got the money. He said, all you need is 50 rubles. He normally wouldn't have done it. Some sofa said, do the first deal. He did it. They signed the contract, drew up the papers. He earned 10,000 rubles worth of wood. He didn't have a footer to his name. He didn't know what to do. He thought he'd stay around a day or two and see how things developed. Some sofa gave him a bracha. And apparently the royal business was, there was a threat of war. And a threat of war, the most important raw material is wood. And the price of wood jumped in those few days to 3 times its normal cost. By the end of the week, he'd sold the wood for 30,000 rubles. He was an oisha muflug again, on his way back, and he was richer than he'd ever been in his life. He just was overwhelmed. I mean, some say that it was a useful person to have around, right? Some say. On the way, he went to a silversmith, bought a magnificent, magnificent snuff box in solid silver. Got to say thank you to some sofa. He came back, and he went to the some sofa, holding the wonderful news, And he gave him back 50 rubles loan. He said, by the way, he said, I bought you a present. Oh, I'm so grateful to some sofa took this box. And he looked at it and he looked at it. He didn't know the Rebbe was so interested in silver. Yeah, he said, I'm so delighted with this box. Baruch Hashem, I can mekayim the mitzvah of not taking ribbas. Whoever offers me ribbas. And you're the first person for years has ever offered me ribbas, and I can say to you, it's a beautiful box, and Baruch Hashem, I can't take it. And I'm so simple for Rabbi, he was able to give back the box. And where did he learn this midah from? Oh, some sort of didn't learn from nowhere. He had a big Rebbe. He had two big Rebbes. Many, but the two were Nosson Adler and the Aflor. The floor was a levy, but Nosson Adler was a Kohen. The Chum Sofer said, the Eversal Gazane, the Kohen and the levy. And Vesel and the Nishmer Dar, he doesn't know how they can carry on. He had big rebels. Particularly of Nosson Adler, he was Meshamish in Mamash. And Nosson was travelling on one of his Nasias, and the Chum Sofer was a young man at the time. He went along as a Gabba. And they were in a wagon, and they're travelling in this wagon. And as they're going along in this wagon, the wagon got stuck in the mud. And it was just impossible to move. The horse couldn't schlep it. So they all got out of the wagon except for Nosson Adler, who was ready at Zocken. He was sitting down. And the wagon driver, the guy, went and fetched an ox from the nearby farm and harnessed it to the wagon. And he said to him, Nosson Adler, he said, you're a rabbi, you can stay. Your weight won't make any difference. Nosson got out of their wagon dancing. He said, when did I ever have the chance of becoming the mitzvah of not going in a wagon which is drawn by Kalei Behemoth? When did I have it? Now I've got a chance, an ox and a horse, and I'm not going in it. Oh, Baruch Hashem, I'm becoming the mitzvah of the Bnei Shalom. That's where I learned this midah from. That's the pshat maxes. Because Levoy Chesam Yisrael Ba'avo. I heard from a good friend of mine, David Ordman of Gesundsein. David was in America and spoke to an audience of 300 or 400 mechanchim from Torah Masova. He said, I'll tell you what goes wrong, David. That's what he told me what he said. I'll tell you what goes wrong with your chinuch. He said, he gave an example. There's a fellow, one of the rebbe's teaching, and in the middle of the afternoon, it's one of the short winter days, he said, oh, to his talmidim, we have to stop learning now. We have to daven mincha. And every day, they know about 3 o'clock, he says, we have to daven mincha. David said to me, he said, that man's destroying chinuch for these children. You have to daven mincha? It's a chiyuv. You don't want to daven mincha? It's not something you... Rabbi Yehuda Halevi writes that mincha, or tefillah to a Kodesh Baruch, is the high point of the day. What should he have said? Baruch Hashem, we have the schus of being omed in front of the Melech, Malchei HaMelechim, to daven mincha, we should be dancing with joy. No, we have to daven mincha. He's mechanechim, but not ba'avo. And that's the inyun al chedei asher heves olam e'leho. Ba'avo. There's ava mechol keles as ashura. And all these gaps and all these barriers which the Yetzer Hara erects, the kina, the taiva, and the kovod, all this nonsense of some people hold of Genom and some people don't hold, are swept aside if you do it by Arvo. And that's our avoda. Our avoda is to be a maxi and not a mini. And for each of us, we should be Mekayim, the Shaheves should be Olam Eilel.